You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Tuesday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined for this edition by Ollie Pimlott. Ollie, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Jack. Pleasure to be here. Long time no see, my friend.
Yes, it's been a while since I did my first ever racing podcast with you.
It's only got better since.
Yes, I'd say. Yeah. I'd say it is. Yeah. I was going to try and be self-deprecating, but no, let's big it up. So did you have a good weekend? Did you enjoy the action?
Yeah, I had a cracking weekend. I was in the studio on Friday and obviously we had great racing on Saturday afternoon from Haydock. Disappointing that Ascot wasn't on. It was abandoned, of course, for the frost, but we go again at Cheltenham this week with a bumper, I think, 9 race card, Jack.
Yes, indeed.
Interesting news coming out that more of that Jonjo O'Neill stable star, once was Jonjo O'Neill stable star, goes to the cross country race, so that's going to be really interesting to see how he goes on there.
Certainly will be. Let's hope for a bit more racing this weekend than the decimated card we had over the course of this one. But hopefully the frost will stay away. And we should mention as well, ahead of doing the previews, Leicester has an inspection in the morning. But hopefully it starts to warm up around there. We're going to have a look at the Monday jury then, which is in the Racing Post at the start of every week. And the first question, Ollie, I'm going to pose to you, is where would you go with the new one? The champion hurdle or the stayers hurdle? Reading the responses, generally, the stayers hurdle seems to be the preference.
Yeah, but the man who means the most is the trainer, Nigel Twiston-Davies, and he is certainly still heading toward the champion hurdle route. I know Sam, his son, would prefer to go down the stayers, but it would appear that Nigel, the trainer, has got his heart set on the champion hurdle. Of course, he's had 3 goes at winning the champion hurdle and yet to do so. Arguably this year, we'll see how Fahin gets on the Irish champion hurdle, whether he... If he wins that, of course, it's going to be a very short price. We know for a fact that Annie Power and Fahin aren't going to take each other on, but if one of those turns up, it's very hard to see the new one beating either one of those. And, of course, you've got to add Yanwith into the mix as well. So it doesn't look the strongest of races on paper, but if either Fahin or Annie Power turns up, it's hard to see the new one beating either of those two. And, of course, he's had 3 goes in the past and failed to win it. If he was mine, I would be heading towards the 3-mile event, the stayers hurdle. You know what I mean, Harry is a short price favourite. It's very much an unexposed horse, but barring him, it looks wide open. Obviously, coming to the next question, we've got the same regarding Jeski, but it looks a wide open race, the stayers hurdle. Champion hurdle on paper doesn't look as strong as it can be, but you've got 2 superstars at the head of the market in Annie Power or Fahin, and you would expect, I know they're not going to take each other on, but you would expect one of those to run. And it's very hard to see the new one beating either of those two. But if he was mine, I would go for the stayers hurdle. But he's not, unfortunately. And I think he's won well over 800,000 in prize money. Of course, won the champion hurdle trial for a 3rd time at the weekend at Haydock. He'd be an absolute pleasure to own. But Nigel Twiston-Davies, the trainer, he's the man who's going to make the decisions along with the owner. And it would appear they're going to go down the champion hurdle route. But it is very hard to see him winning a champion hurdle if one of Fahin or Any Power turn up.
Yeah, if he was yours, you probably wouldn't be sat here. You'd be over probably admiring.
Yeah, I'd be in Barbados now.
yeah.
Spending the winnings.
Absolutely. We'd have you down the line. We'd be talking to you from the beach. Okay, yeah, as you mentioned there, Jeski has got a similar conundrum. What do you make of this one?
He does. It was an excellent turn at Navan. That was obviously over 2 miles. But given his pedigree and the fact he's already proven over 3 miles, I'd stick with the staying route. The one worry is that JP McManus obviously has, you know what I mean, Harry, who's the favourite for the stayers hurdle. But Jeski's obviously won at Punchestown on the only try over the trip. He's a grade one winner of both over 2 mile and 3 mile. And of course, he's a previous champion hurdle winner. Really impressive comeback from a very long absence, what we saw at Navan at the weekend. Obviously, the bounce factor will be a slight worry when we next see him. I'm not sure if they're going to go straight to Cheltenham or give him one more run in between, but he was excellent at Navan. Barry Geraghty is the key to this horse as well. He's got an unbelievably good record on Jeske. But once again, I would be inclined to go down the stayers route. He's proven over 3 miles. We know he stays. He's won a grade one over the trip. And of the two, I think the stayers race Barry. You know what I mean, Harry. Looks wide open. Whereas, as we mentioned earlier, I think I find it hard to see him beating either one of Annie Power or Forheen. So I would go down the stayers route. But yet again, I think that one's a little bit more open in the air than the new one. I think it'd be a toss-up between the two, whereas the new one is looking far more likely to go down the champion hurdle route. But once again, if he was mine, I think the weaker race looks the stayers.
Yeah, but also in the Racing Post, Brian Ellison, by the way, not really answering that question, saying, could go for either. So at least you've come down on one particular race there, unlike the trainer. Okay, so anyone who watched the weekend's racing would have been impressed by Bristol Dumais. What do we make of the chances in the Gold Cup is the next question.
Obviously, he was second in the JLT last year. He's going to improve £12 plus to be considered for a Gold Cup now, off his latest mark. I think he'll probably get... Yeah, he won off a mark of 154. He's going to get, well, £10 at least. But he's, once again, on the back of that new mark, he's going to have to improve £12 again. The key to him, Jack, I think, is soft ground. Does help his jumping. Bad ground would be the absolute key to him. If it turned up very soft in the Gold Cup, you'd give him half a squeak. But if it turned up soft in the Gold Cup, it would also play into Native River's hands as well. Thoroughly impressive performance in the Peter Marsh Chase, which is a proven trial for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, but he's got to improve probably another stone and get his required soft ground. I don't think his jumping holds up quite so well on the quicker ground, so he's got to improve a stone and he's got to get his conditions, and the conditions are going to suit a number of the other runners as well if it did turn up soft, most notably Native River. So I would give him not much of a chance in the Gold Cup, if I was honest.
No, and also it's very difficult to make an opinion, really, at the moment, without knowing what the conditions might be like. It could change dramatically between now and then.
Yeah, and often real wide margin winners on soft ground are flattered by the proximity of the distance. You look at not many of the top class horses actually go on the soft ground. They prefer a better ground. So when the ground dries out, which... You know, it's not often we get a soft ground drought Gold Cup. He's very much entitled to take his chance now, but I would be very surprised if he featured in the front three in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, people probably getting carried away a little by that wide margin win. And then also at Haydock, of course, we saw a couple of nice prospects, Waiting Patiently and Neon Wolf. What do we make of them?
Waiting Patiently was waited patiently beautifully by Brian Hughes. Obviously, Politolog was a little bit keen in the race and set it up for him, but it was a superb performance by Waiting Patiently. Great to have a good horse up in the north. We've been crying out for it. I thought Cloudy Dream, another horse of Malcolm Jefferson's, would be another one of them. He was firmly put in his place when we last saw him at Haydock, but Waiting Patiently given a superb ride by Brian Hughes. Is the slight worry for me is he might need soft ground. Once again, we just talked about Cheltenham. Is he going to get the soft ground that he got at Haydock? I would be surprised, but it's great to see a horse from the north who looks to have a half a decent chance at Cheltenham.
Okay, we'll move on to the penultimate question. Kinloch Bray winner Sizing John. They ask, does he look the likely type for the Ryanair? What do we reckon?
I absolutely love this horse. One of my favourite horses in training. If a certain Duvan wasn't about, we'd be hailing him as a superstar. Obviously, he keeps getting beat by Duvan. I think it's around about 6 or 7 times Duvan has beat him now, but he's finished second to him on all those occasions. They stepped him up in trip. Obviously, he used to be with Henry de Bromhead, has switched to the Jesse Harrington team this year. They stepped him up in trip at Thurles last time. I thought it was a really good performance. He's not ground dependent. He's got a good record at Cheltenham, obviously finishing second in the Champion Chase last year. They're going to try and dodge Duvan, so I think they'll go down the Ryanair route. And he was stayed right the way to the line at Thurles last time. I think he ranks an excellent bet in the Ryanair, in a race that looks likely to cut up. I think it seems pretty much certain he's going to go to the Ryanair now. For a horse that, which you know is going to turn up on the day, which you know is going to go off a shorter price than you can take now, barring a mishap and injury, I think he's an excellent bet for the Ryanair. But he's a favourite of mine, so I would say that, Jack.
Yeah, you were never going to be negative, were you?
No.
No, well, we look forward to seeing how Sizing John gets on in the Ryanair. The final question, I'm going to read it out how it is in the Racing Post. The Post's Queen of Turf series is approaching the final furlong. Who is your first lady?
My first lady, probably, just thinking back, would be Asian Maze. Was a horse of Tom Mullins's. Excellent mare she was. At one point, I thought she had champion hurdle winner written all over her. She won the big novices stayers hurdle at Punchestown. Then the following year, she was really impressive when she won at Aintree. That was the Grade 1 Stayers event at Aintree, the Aintree Hurdle. And I thought she was going to be a superstar. She, of course, beat Harder Usis and Sky's the Limit on that occasion. But the season after, she was slightly disappointing and never went on to be quite as good as everybody thought. But she was a horse I followed over the cliff. She did me a good number of turns, especially at Aintree that day. I was a very bad hangover, it's fair to say, after she did me a very good turn on that occasion. As I say, she never quite went on to be the champion hurdle horse that you thought she would be the season after, and she was retired at the end of that season. But she was always pulled a good place in my heart because, as I say, she did me a good number of favours through the years and was a horse who probably didn't get all the recognition she deserved.
Well, there we are. We're looking at her record at the moment on line, and it's pretty decent. And I can see why you're a fan. Right, we move on then from the Monday jury to Tuesday's racing. We're going to have a couple from Weatherby and one from Southall as well. And, of course, Leicester, as you mentioned, the 220, which is getting a precautionary inspection in the morning. The 230 from Weatherby, then. This is part of our High Five promotion here at William Hill. All of the races on the card. If your winner wins by 5 lengths or more, you'll get a 25% win bonus. This one has 8 runners, so it does qualify, and it's over the 3 miles. Where are we looking in this one?
Wide open race to get us started off at Weatherby for this 2:30. This handicap chase, and you could give a number of these chances. We're probably going to be 3-1 the field, Jack, at moment of recording. The one that most interested me was the Keith Dalgleish runner, Dream Flyer. Made a dream start for the Keith Dalgleish yard when winning on its debut, having previously been with Michael Smith. Overcame a 223-day break to win at Musselburgh. Admittedly, that was off a mark significantly lower than the one he runs off today. Won off a mark of 104 last time out. 111 he runs off here at Weatherby. But that's a significant trainer uplift from Michael Smith to the excellent Keith Dalgleish. And I think off a mark of 111, he's still got a good bit of room for manoeuvre. Obviously, that was at Musselburgh, so probably going to appreciate a little bit better ground. But this is a horse who, in previous years and seasons, has been rated as high as 119, if you go back a couple of years. And just last year, January of last year, was rated 118. So still got scope off a mark of 111. Comes from the excellent Keith Dalgleish stable, unexposed, having only had the one start for him. And I think he stood out in a race which has plenty of protagonists.
Yeah, it could be a tricky race, that one. But Dream Flyer, the selection in the 2:30. An hour later, we also have 8 runners in this Class 3 race over the 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Any of these stand out particularly on first glance?
Again, very tricky race, isn't it? This handicap chase. And good rating band. Obviously, the top weight, Wells de Lune, sneaks in off 1-3-1 with the new change in the way you can get into races. Obviously, because it's rated a pound higher than the 130, manages to sneak in off top weight. It's got the excellent Brian Hughes on board that one. But the one I was going to take a chance on here was Dartford Warbler, the bottom weight, right at the bottom here, off 10 stone 13. Got Danny Cook on board, who's got a very good strike rate for the Sue Smith yard, who are starting to click into gear. This is their time of year, December, January, February, when it's hock deep ground and their horses are running really well. On a back, real handy mark, you'd have thought, back over fences. Was runner-up off £6 higher in this race 12 months ago, so they've clearly targeted the race. They've campaigned him over hurdles of late, last seen in a handicap hurdle, finishing 4th of 10 behind Benny's King. But as I say, he is really well handicapped over fences compared to his hurdle mark, last seen off a mark of 122 over fences. So back off a mark of 116, stable, banging form, has ran 2 decent races, 4th behind Splash of Ginger as well, shouldn't be sniffed at Haydock, and then 4th behind Benny's King at Utoxeter. 2 decent runs off a plummeting mark. Dartford Warbler for me, the bottom weight in the 3:30 at Weatherby.
Yeah, and like you said, this time of year and at these northern tracks, you should always be wary of going against anything that Sue Smith and Danny Cook are combining on. Okay, right, 3:10 Southall is our next race on the fibre sand, so we're going to switch to there temporarily. Class 2 race this, and there are 10 runners having a sprint over the 5 furlongs.
Yeah, another good race tomorrow, just over £12,500 to the winner, so excellent prize money on offer for a Tuesday at sunny Southall. And the one I'm going to concentrate on first here is recent course and distance winner Raising Hell. He benefited from a very strong ride from the front last time. My worry here is there's a little bit more pace on. He nicked it from the front last time, Raising Hell. John Balding's runner, Midge Mullen rides again, but goes up in class. I don't think he's going to get the easy lead, which he got last time. So instead, I'm going to go with Meadway. He was just beaten by Raising Hell last time, but gets a £2 swing in the rates. And I thought that was a cracking run, because as I mentioned, Raising Hell, they let it off and just couldn't quite get to it last time. Gets a £2 pull in the weights off Raising Hell for that run last time, in what looks a wide open handicap for the time of year, particularly competitive here at Southwell. I was just going to go with Meadway to get the better of Raising Hell. Might be worth looking at the William Hill match bets there, Jack. Obviously gets that £2 pull. And Raising Hell was very much suited by the way the race was run last time at Southwell. But £2 pull for Meadway. My best bet in the race will be Meadway to beat Raising Hell on the William Hill match bets. Of course, if you click on the race, you'll find them all there. Presume it'll be around about 10 to 11-ish. We've got them at 6 to 1 and 7 to 1, Meadway and Raising Hell at time of recording. So it should be around about a pick 'em. But I would definitely be edging with Meadway to beat Raising Hell. And in terms of winning here, I'm going to take a chance with Poyle Vinny. He should be second or third favourite in here. Comes from a yard who excel at the track. This son of Piccolo has got a great record here. Ali Rawlinson, good value for his £3 claim. So I think Michael Appleby has the best chance of winning this race in Poyle Vinny. But my favourite selection in the race when the get the match bets up tomorrow morning on the William Hill website would be Meadway to beat Raising Hell. And I would estimate it'd be around about even money, 10 to 11-ish.
Okay, yeah, take a look at that. Look out for the William Hill match bets. They're always worth having a look at, particularly if you're struggling to come down on a winner
of
a race.
The beauty about them, Jack, is you can finish second, last, and as long as the horse you beat finishes behind you, doesn't matter where you finish.
Yeah, could run a stinker, but if the other horse...
runs equally
or stinkier.
Worse.
Yeah, absolutely. So always worth having a look. And they should be on the website, as Ollie says, on Tuesday morning. Right, final race we're going to look at is from Leicester, and it's a mare's chase. It's a listed race, this one, so yet more decent racing on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and yet again, good prize money, over 17,000 to the winner here at Leicester. And it's interesting to see this, because Levatiken meets Desert Queen on £10 better terms than the last time they met. Was given a beautiful ride, Levatiken, last time, and they seem to have found the key to her. They used to ride it quite close to the pace last time. It dropped it right out and she cruised into the race. As I say, meets Desert Queen on £10 better terms in this mare's listed event. So I'm not going to go with the front two here. Desert Queen and the Vatican, I think, are going to head the market. I'm going to go for the one of the bottom weights here. The Organist comes from the Oliver Sherwood yard. I thought there was a particularly eye-catching jockey booking with Barry Geraghty. Very often, her jumping lets her down, and round Doncaster, it is a stiff track with stiff fences, but if she can get her jumping together, the Organist, with Barry Geraghty looking a particularly eye-catching jockey booking for JP McManus's charge, I think they can pick up at least a bit of black type. So the Organist, be around about 5-6-1, as long as all eight go, I think represents great each-way value against the front two in the 220 at Leicester.
The Organist, then, the selection for Ollie in the final race we're going to look at on the Racing Podcast, the 220 at Leicester. Ollie, thank you very much, and good luck with all of your selections throughout Tuesday. You can hear Ollie throughout the week on William Hill's Racing Radio, and the Racing Podcast will be back for Wednesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.